Hey, it's Jeff Zito, and thanks for listening to another episode of Celebrity Jobber. All our past episodes are online at celebrityjobber.com, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please subscribe. Would appreciate a 5-star rating and leave a review. A hilarious comedian slash actor by the name of TJ Miller made his acting debut in Cloverfield, HBO sitcom Silicon Valley, one of my favorites. He played the character Weasel in the Marvel Comics movie Deadpool, Office Christmas Party, She's Out of My League. Very funny guy. Born in Denver, Colorado, is from a very well-to-do family. His father was an attorney, his mother a psychologist. So I find it interesting with that kind of background how one chooses to go into comedy. A very difficult brand of show business to become successful in. So we'll find out where TJ was headed professionally. You know, maybe if comedy wasn't his thing, where would he have ended up? Talk about some first jobs that TJ had outside of show business. Also, we'll talk about a life-changing event that happened to TJ, which could have set him on a completely different course altogether. In a life-changing event that could have indeed cost him his life. It's all part of this week's episode of Celebrity Jobber with comedian TJ Miller.
The Celebrity Jobber podcast with Jeff Zito. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, give a 5-star rating, and leave a review. Check out all our past episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you pod. What if these celebrities weren't famous? What would they have become? What was their first job? We're about to find out.
How are you, man?
Really good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I'm a big fan. I just want you to feel comfortable. I'm not too big of a fan to where you need to feel like you're in danger, you know?
Right, exactly. Well, I've had a couple of those.
I just love the whole psychology of talking to you because, and the reason that I'm saying that is I know that you're an educated man. I know that your parents are educated people. And I just kind of want to know, growing up, when comedy and or showbiz became like your focus and whether or not your parents, you know, supported your dream.
Well, they definitely supported my dream, but my father, I'd say in college, you know, like sophomore year or something or towards the end of college, he came to my father and I said, look, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, really trying to do this and really getting into it. And he said, well, do know that only 2% of people on the Screen Actors Guild, this is very my father, only 2% of the actors that are in the Screen Actors Guild are fully employed as actors. And I said, well, you know, that might be the case. I mean, I don't know where he pulled that.
Well, he's smart. He read it somewhere.
Yeah, he's a smart guy. And so when he said that, I said, well, that might be the case, but this is really what I want to do, and I've got to try it. It might take me a long time, but I think it's going to be worth it, and it's just something that I really, really want to do. And so he said, well, we think that, you know, you have a hard enough work ethic that anything you do, you'll be successful in. So they were really supportive.
Wow.
You know, that was about the time. But I'd say as early as high school, I sort of realized, well, I really like doing the comedy version of this.
Okay. You grew up in Colorado, and was there in your high school, you know, I guess in every high school, there's a drama department, but was that something that you were involved in?
100%. And I kind of owe everything to my drama teacher, Melody Duggan, because she sort of encouraged me to not only do, you know, to not only do the comedic roles, but also to be in the musical and to be in the Greek tragedy and all of that kind of stuff. Although once I went on stage as a Greek messenger and I was wearing my electronic Casio watch, that wasn't great.
Right.
But she was so advanced that she had she taught stand-up sophomore year. And so all of us had to memorize 5 minutes of a real comedian stuff. I chose Jerry Seinfeld, which in retrospect was so ironic.
Right.
just about the last thing that I, you know.
That's not you. Yeah, you're not. Yeah, I don't think of Jerry Seinfeld when I think of T.J. Miller, right?
I doubt he's ever improvised a word of comedy in his entire life, which is
right.
a lot of what I do.
Right.
So I you know, memorized his stuff. And then the second thing that I did was you have to write your own material. And so I did that, and it was really, really fun because I think we just, you know, none of us really knew what we were going to do. And at one point, Melody Duggan said, oh, you know, he said, nobody's going to really do this for a living, but I think it's really important for you guys to learn. And we said, oh, wow, okay. And she said, well, nobody's going to do this for a living. Maybe TJ. That was the first time that I'd ever even heard someone even bring up the possibility of me being a professional comedian. So I definitely owe that to her. Sometimes you get that one teacher. I'm sure you had it. Did you ever have a teacher who you thought, wow, if this person wasn't there, I wouldn't be here?
Del Jacobs was his name. He was a community college professor in the TV production world. And the guy that was in my class actually made a movie called Waiting. You weren't. I'm thinking for a second. You might have been
Ryan
in it.
Ryan Reynolds, of all people.
Ryan Reynolds was in it, but this kid was in my class, and this teacher, he was so. I mean, the charisma, and he just, you know, he got me into broadcasting, and I do. You're right. Everybody has that teacher that kind of speaks to them. So that's interesting, and I'm glad that you mention that to me because I can relate. Not on your level, but I can definitely relate.
It's the same. I mean, it's a different deal, obviously, but it's the same thing where, you know, you went into, I don't know if you consider talk about your career as show business, but you went into show business, and it's that encouraging person who, you know, said, hey, you can do it, you know? And I think that's just fascinating and really wonderful, you know.
It is. It is. So
we're very lucky for those things.
It's true. It happens. It does happen at an early age. So you go to GW and you get involved in theater there. But were you thinking about a backup plan? What did you think you were going to be doing? That small voice of your father in the back of your mind saying, TJ, 2% make it in SAG. Like, what were you thinking you might try to become if it didn't work out?
Well, I got a bachelor's degree in psychology. And so that was kind of its own sort of, backup. But I never really thought of a backup. So I never even really pursued or thought about, hey, you know, this would be what I do if this doesn't work out. And so that was interesting, too, that I just figured I'll just keep working as hard as I possibly can on this. And then, you know, it should work out. And I still believe that. It's like if you work harder than anyone else around you, which is what I always did, it's going to work, you know, because it really has so much to do with work ethic, more so than talent, I think. Work ethic can get you everywhere.
What do you think was about, you know, what about psychology interested you enough to major in it?
I mean, it came easily.
Right.
It's not the most honorable reason to be studying something, but it came really easy. I aced my advanced placement exam like 100% in high school. So I went in, you know, with my general requirement for psychology gone. So I just sort of stepped into that. My mother's a psychologist, and so it's something I was always really interested in. It's basically, you know, very comedic. Kind of looking at things, thinking about why do people think this way, you know, take social psychology, sociology, it's sort of, well, this is how groups of people think and what they do. So it really makes you pay attention to human beings, and that's kind of what you do as a stand-up comic.
Right, okay.
The entire time I was improvising.
Well, it makes a lot of sense, and with your whole story, too, it's kind of ironic on your Twitter or X or whatever they're calling it. They're calling it X. I can't stop calling it Twitter for some reason. I think I'm getting old.
I can't do it.
But anyway.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
It says you died in 2010 of AVM. So I've researched it. I think it's incredible. Could you tell me a little bit about AVM and what this is. How did you know you had it? And then tell me how it ended up, which is good because he's alive, by the way.
Yeah. I think it's definitely a positive ending because I'm here talking to you. But I had an arteriovenous malformation, which is something that is usually found in autopsy. So people die from it, and then people go, oh, wow, okay, you had a malformation in your brain. It happens congenitally, which I thought that had something to do with genitals. It doesn't. it means it happened in the womb, kind of before you were born. And so they removed it, hemorrhaged while I was doing Yogi Bear 3D, which I think is really funny. And because I was in the forest, talking to cartoon bears,
right,
in New Zealand, totally upside down in my entire, thing.
Right.
In terms of my mind, speaking of psychology, you're just upside down, completely different time zone than everybody. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So I sort of, I kind of found my way to just staying up all the time, drinking a lot. And all of this came to the point where my AVM hemorrhaged and I started to actually go crazy, like chemically and physically starting to go insane because there was more blood in my right frontal lobe. So there's more activity. And so I didn't, they found it. Thank goodness I had two seizures. There's a really funny thing on YouTube called TJ Miller Has a Seizure, and it kind of explains the whole thing. But I had brain surgery in 2010, and they said you have a 1 in 10 chance of a fatality.
Wow.
What happens with these, 1 out of 10 people die. That's kind of what happens with these brain surgeries. So do you want to do it? It's elective. You don't have to do it. I said, well, what happens if I don't do it? It's, well, you'll probably die in your mid-30s. And I said, well, am I going to be funny after the surgery?
Said, all right, yeah.
And I said, am I going to be funny after the surgery? And he said, I don't know. I think so, because you're not using that part of your brain anyway. And I said, okay, let's roll the dice. And so we did. But they put you under. And so kind of my thought is there may be a possibility where I died. And before you die, there is theories that the brain slows down into sort of almost a dream state. And then within that dream state, you experience a dream that feels almost like an entire life. Have you ever had a dream where you just, it feels like it went on for weeks or months or something?
Absolutely.
That's the type of brain, that's what happens right before you die, is your brain acts very similarly to that. So this could all be a dream, and I may have died in 2010, and we're still in 2010. That's part of kind of, my overall, after that, it gives you a different sort of perspective on life.
Absolutely.
So I didn't take anything very seriously in the beginning. Now I definitely don't take anything seriously.
Well, I got to think that the thing that you said about, am I going to be funny after the surgery? I mean, it's a funny thing to say, but so when you're doing stuff to a brain,
I needed that. Yeah.
It's true. Like maybe you would have been, wanting to be an attorney or a psychologist, or maybe, who knows? The brain is such a complex thing that, you might not have. They took the humor away from you. That's kind of incredible. Didn't work though.
Exactly. I don't know. I didn't want to have the surgery and then not be able to do comedy because I just love doing comedy. It's my vocation. It's my passion. It's my life's work. And I think it really gives me purpose. So that's why I sort of said, look, if I'm not going to be funny, then I'll just take my chances and I've had a great life and I'll die in my mid-30s.
Wow.
Sort of my attitude.
Wow.
The resident that was talking to me just couldn't believe that was my response because everybody who is involved with this is really scared. They're scared. Is this not going to work out? What do I do? I don't know which, should I get the surgery? Should I not? And I kind of had this attitude of like, yeah, sure.
What was your first job, TJ? So bring it all the way back to high school or wherever your very first job was outside of show business.
Well, I worked at McDonald's for sure.
That was a good job, wasn't it? At the time?
Yeah, it was, except I kept dropping cups, and then you got to throw them away. And I tried to do the cash register, and I wasn't fast enough, so I got demoted to fries. So it wasn't great on my self-esteem. Then I worked at Radio Shack, and that was pretty interesting, for sure.
Yeah, definitely now.
Yeah, right, exactly.
People don't even know what we're talking about, some of these kids, yeah.
Yeah, and people need to GameStop it and get that thing back in action. But I worked at Radio Shack, and then I was a legal secretary, which is a very masculine job. We're at Skirts on Fridays. And it was overall just like, a series of day jobs where I would perform every single night. I would either perform stand-up or improvisation, or I would go and see comedy. And I would perform 7 nights a week, sometimes twice in a night, sometimes 3 times in a night. This is all in Chicago. But I just took classes, voiceover, acting, improv during the day on the weekends. And then weekend nights I would go and I would watch or I would perform. And that was kind of my thing for 4 years. After 2 years, I got hired at Second City, which is a comedy theater in Chicago.
Major.
I toured with them. And yeah, so it really boiled down to how hard I worked. Everyone around me was kind of like, whoa, he's working the hardest of any of us. And everybody will, attest to that if you talk to, and I came up with some pretty incredible people. Pete Holmes comes to mind, Kumail Nanjiani and Thomas Milditch, who both were in Silicon Valley. Nick Vatterott, who writes for Bill Maher, Dave, just a lot of comedians that you now see and are familiar with all started with me in Chicago. So it was a very special place.
Do you think Second City, that was your big break?
I have yet to have my big break.
You've yet to have your big break.
All kinds of little teeny tiny breaks. Yeah, I'm waiting for this big break. It's definitely going to be in pornography.
What if this is your big break right here? This episode goes...
I think it is.
All right, TJ. So there's comedy, and I want to know about other business endeavors that you have outside of comedy, whether they are connected somehow, but hot sauce and peanut butter.
I am seriously into making delicious food stuff. And so I have my own line of peanut butter and my own line of hot sauce. They're both available on Amazon.com. The peanut butter is delicious, and you didn't get any because this was last minute yet. So I'm sending you some peanut butter.
Oh, thank you.
Which I'm very excited about because tell me which of these you like the best. Dark chocolate, almonds, and coconut.
Okay.
That's the first one. Then cherry chocolate with real dried cherries, honey roasted peanuts.
That sounds good.
Then my favorite, but I just want to hear what you think, toffee crispy with toffee milk chocolate and Rice Krispies.
Yeah, that's the one.
What do you think? What would be your choice? That's yours. That's mine, too.
That's the one. The toffee, the coffee, the Rice Krispies, speaking to me.
Nothing else is as delicious. And then I have 3 hot sauces.
Did this start off as like a joke, making food stuff? Or did this just, is this a passion of yours that turned into somewhat of a successful business endeavor?
I'm passionate about hot sauce.
Okay.
There's a guy who helped me record in the middle of nowhere in Indiana. He helped me record a Mucinex ad when I used to be the Mucinex man. And he had a pepper farm. He goes, well, I have a pepper patch. Do you want to see it? I said, yeah. Then he started sending me kind of scratch batches that he wanted my opinion about. One day he said, hey, would you ever want to collaborate on a hot sauce? And I said, yeah, I love hot sauce, which he knew that. And so that's how it started. And then that was going so well, I thought, well, I love peanut butter. Maybe I could find, and I found, strangely, a peanut butter family in Indiana, right where my hot sauce guy is.
Right.
They also made peanut butter, so it just worked out perfectly. And then I've been doing it. People just love it.
Are you surprised with the success of this stuff?
When you have the product, when you taste it, yeah, it's not a surprise.
Currently on the Gentle Giant Tour. Oh my God, what an aggressive tour schedule, which is up on his website. TJ Miller does not have a website.com. this weekend in Tampa, formerly the Tampa Improv, now the Funny Bone. TJ Miller, so great talking to you. I really do appreciate it, and good luck to you with everything you do.
I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Jeff.
Take care, man. You know, he said psychology came easy to him, and it's because his mother is a psychologist, so, you know, he probably learned a lot through osmosis, if you will, and he just said, you know, it came natural to him, so he majored in psychology. But what was interesting about psychology is it has a lot to do with comedy, how he explained it, just like learning about how people think. And it made a lot of sense to me. So I could see the connection, even though, you know, his mom being a psychologist and him being a comedian doesn't sound like those two things are connected at all. They kind of are a little bit if you think about it. You know, his dad was an attorney. Both mom and dad educated people, like I said in the beginning. But I found it pretty cool how he said that his parents, you know, supported his dreams being a stand-up comedian, which when you say it that way sounds kind of crazy, right? He almost died. Some kind of brain situation, which needed surgery. A 10% chance that he would die from the brain surgery. And I thought it was interesting how he wondered if he would be funny after the brain surgery. Because if he wasn't going to be funny anymore, like, why even bother? You know, they said if he didn't have the surgery, he would probably die somewhere in his mid to late 30s. And he kind of thought about it. If he wasn't going to be funny anymore and he couldn't do what he wanted to do, comedy, you know, might as well just kind of let it go and call it a day. But TJ didn't have to worry about that. He went under the knife. The surgery was very successful. And yeah, he's still funny. And even though he says he really hasn't had his big break yet, I think it was Second City, the Chicago stand-up comedy troupe. A lot of huge comedians come out of there. I think getting that gig probably put him on the right path to where he is now. And I also think it's great, instead of hawking T-shirts and CDs at his shows, he got into selling hot sauce and peanut butter. And the stuff's actually pretty good. And he's making a little bit of money off of that stuff. Very funny guy, TJ Miller, my guest this week on Celebrity Jobber. You can check out all the past episodes on CelebrityJobber.com. YouTube channel, which is YouTube.com/@CelebrityJobber. You can follow me on Instagram, Celebrity Jobber Podcast. And please subscribe. Would appreciate a 5-star rating and leave a review. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Again, thanks for listening. Really appreciate you. Until next week, I'm Jeff Zito. This has been another episode of Celebrity Jobber.